Every single person here has a longing in our hearts. I have this longing. You have this longing. Every person that has ever lived has a longing in their heart that can only be satisfied by God Himself and by God's will. The problem is, everybody here, myself included, priest included, sisters included, we try to fill that hole with things other than God. We have this inclination to sin. The one thing that we try to fill this hole with that is not God, that gets more souls to go to hell than any other sin, the greatest temptation, the greatest battle for the most people is a battle and a struggle against lust. Maybe not all people experience this. Maybe you're young and you're like, I don't have any of these problems. One day, you're going to face this problem. St. Alphonsus Liguori says that any soul that is damned, for whatever main vice he is damned with, he is also damned with the sin of lust. So maybe he's damned because of his pride, but there's lust there also. Our Lady of Fatima told Jacinta that more souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh than any other sin. Yesterday I said that we are tempted by the world. That's true, we are. We're tempted by the devil. Yes, that's true, we are. But we also are tempted by our very own flesh. And God did not make us this way. In the beginning, it wasn't like this. Every single person here suffers from an inclination to sin. A lot of times people will say, God made me that way. I should act out however I would like to act out. Excuse me, that's how God made me and I'm beautiful. You are beautiful. God made you. But he did not make you to sin. He did not make you with temptation. How did God make you? God made you in his image, in his likeness. He put that yearning in your heart. He put that longing in your soul that can only be satisfied by him and by his will. Love, authentic love, is a complete gift of yourself. The most perfect form, obviously, is a sacrificial love, like Jesus on the cross. Love incarnate poured himself out for another. But God, the image of God, is a holy trinity that loves and that's constantly giving, faithfully, fully, freely, forever. And so God put that desire in your soul only to be satisfied when you're loving. Not to be satisfied when you're rich. Not to be satisfied because of all the pleasures of the world. But he also put that image in your bodies. And he made them male and female. And only when the male and the female are together and they're giving themselves fully, faithfully, and forever, do they most perfectly mirror and fulfill that image of God. Naturally speaking, it's the natural vocation. There are supernatural callings to the religious life, to the priesthood. St. John Bosco has said, at least from what I read, he said that 1/3 of all people have a supernatural calling to a consecrated religious life, priesthood, sisterhood. 1/3. God is very generous. The problem is we are very selfish. But 2/3 are married life, and that's where they themselves will image God in giving themselves to one another. Because the marital embrace, that sacred union, that intimate union, if you know what I mean, is only meant for the married. When it's used in marriage, it is powerful, it is beautiful, it is good, it perfectly expresses love. When it's used outside of marriage, it's poison that kills your soul. It kills your relationship. With your body, you reject the image of God in you. Have you ever noticed that the people who hate the Catholic Church the most are the ones who are the most sexually perverse? They're the ones who are the most angry. The people that I know that hate the Catholic Church left because of some sin of the flesh that they didn't want to fight against. We all have a temptation. But when you stop fighting against it, you reject God. You turn your back on God and you say, no, I'm not going to try. This is how I'm going to be. I'm going to talk about purity within relationships first. The reality is, for most people with good intentions, you get into a relationship with somebody because you genuinely like them. It is very normal to want to express that love through the body. That is a natural and normal thing that is understandable. But it is inappropriate to act that out. So people often ask, Well, how far is too far? Where do I draw the line? The line is the sexual passions are reserved for the sacrament of matrimony. If you're enjoying the sexual passions outside of the sacrament of matrimony, that's a mortal sin. That's the line. The culture wouldn't say that. They would say, do whatever you want. Do whatever feels good. And I will admit, it is difficult. So if you genuinely like somebody and you want what's best for them and you're not married, you cannot express that love through the body. If you do try to, it's not love. God designed the human heart. God designed love. God designed the body. If you don't do it God's way, if you don't follow God's plan, it's not gonna work. It never will. It's like taking a poison pill that's going to ruin and deteriorate the relationship. It's bad for you. It's bad for the couple. Authentic love can only be expressed through the body in holy matrimony. Is it difficult to be pure? Yes, it's difficult. Is it worth it? 100%, absolutely. But it's not easy. I talked to a priest about vocations, and he says, I think that people can't hear the voice of God because of sins of impurity. I agree with that, and I add to that. I think that people can't even see their proper spouse that maybe God has willed for them because of their sins of impurity. So when a person commits a sin of impurity, chemically speaking, there's dopamine released and oxytocin released. So what does that do? That makes you automatically attached to a person. Maybe you've heard of a person who's been in a relationship and they're in a bad relationship. And you're like, why do you like him? He's such a loser. He's such a jerk. I love him. I can't help it. I just love him. That's not love. That's a chemical dependence or maybe an emotional dependence. So how do I be pure? Because this is what we really want. It requires communication. If you're called to the married life, you are called to discern who it is that you are going to get married to. The purpose of married life is not to relieve your sexual desires. Finally, I've been repressing myself for so long. That's not the purpose of married life. The purpose of married life is to lead the other person to heaven. The problem is many times people get married and getting to heaven is on the back burner and then they're stuck with a spouse till death do you part, so help you God. And you're like, oh, my husband, it's generally the men. Oh, my husband doesn't go to church. Oh, my husband, blah, 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 blah. Well, did you pray together before marriage? No. Why do you think he's going to pray with you after marriage? I don't know. So, number one advice I have, don't get into a relationship with somebody who's not Catholic. There's a Latin axiom, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. How you pray impacts what you believe, impacts how you live. So how I pray impacts the core of how I live. If I don't agree on basic tenets of religion, if I don't agree that marriage is until death, then how can I have proper, regular relationships with people who I don't even see eye to eye with? Very bad. Number two, you need to discuss purity. When you meet somebody that you might like, you need to say to them, hey, I want you to know we're going to be pure. If you don't want to be pure, see ya. I'm discerning for marriage. I'm not discerning to waste my soul on you. So you need to communicate. Pray together, not just so that you stay together, but so that you make sure that this is God's will and not just your attraction. Pray together. Talk about purity. Listen to purity talks. If you can't pray with this person, kick them out. Kick them out. Trust that God has a plan for you. Finally, if you are in a relationship and you really feel like God, because this is true, I know many good Catholics who get into relationships who are really discerning marriage and they really feel like God is calling them to marriage, but they still are tempted to sin and they're struggling to stop. My advice is look at the script. Many times when we have a sin that we commit often, I could play it out. If you notice that you sin in the car, cut out that part of the script, rewrite it. From now on, you know you can't be trusted to be alone in the car. She drives her own car to the movies or to the dinner or wherever you go. If you know that's where you fall, you have to use your brain and avoid the near occasion of sin. If you commit a mortal sin, you run to confession. You make a firm resolution to sin no more. This is a struggle, A man can't do it alone. A woman can't do it alone. If you're really discerning a vocation to marriage, it has to be teamwork. Number two, purity alone. The temptation is this. I'm not hurting anybody. Nobody's going to know. I know what the devil says. He says it to everybody. Nobody's going to know if you do this. It's not hurting anybody. The sexual passions are reserved for the sacrament of holy matrimony. That means you cannot do it with a friend. You cannot do it alone. You cannot do it on a train. You cannot do it here or there. It is a sin everywhere. Okay, so even when you're alone, people might giggle. Younger ones might say, why is this a problem? I don't understand it. Trust me, if you're tempted when you're with somebody, when there's no accountability, the temptation is even stronger. And you might say it doesn't hurt anybody, but you're wrong. It hurts you, first and foremost. It is a mortal sin. You reject God with your very body. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You reject the Holy Spirit. You're abusing yourself. Pope John Paul II said, every question about sexuality at its root has to do with questions about the meaning and dignity of human life. So when you abuse yourself, you're really telling yourself that the human body is not special, that human life is not sacred. And you can see this acted out in Hollywood. What do I mean? All those men who are committing abuse to these women, where did they build the habit of treating women as objects? It's built. On top of that, there is a great poison. It is the worst thing that has entered human history, in my opinion, and that is pornography. It is a poison that will kill your soul. It is a poison that the devil has specifically aimed and targeted at young people today, where today we lack willpower. We can't even go 5 minutes without looking at our screens. We can't. It's tough. I know. I suffer from the same problem. So the average age of exposure to pornographic images, sinful images, is 9 years old. That's diabolical. If you want to invite the devil into your home, look at pornography. It's like a black portal that the devil will come into your home. I know of many people, because of their looking at pornography, their homes have hauntings, infestations. They themselves suffer from spiritual obsessions or oppressions. So yes, all of this, I should mention, all of this is addictive and it's a mortal sin. When you commit a mortal sin, you reject God and you are now a member of the kingdom of Satan and you reject the Holy Spirit. Now you are inviting the evil spirit into your life. How do you stop this? How do you avoid this? Number one, avoid the near occasion of sin. The same thing applies as in a relationship. If there is a script for where you always sin, avoid that script. Cut out that part where you're home alone in your room on the computer. When you know you're going to be home alone, make plans to go somewhere else. I know that's not enough because it's more than just a physical problem and a willpower problem. It's a spiritual problem. You need to fill your room with sacramentals, holy pictures, big holy pictures, at least 8x10s. Why holy pictures? Because just as the devil can use evil things as gateways, local infestations to get into your house, just as the devil can use bad magazines, bad DVDs in your computer to tempt you to sin, the Blessed Mother and Jesus and the guardian angels can use holy pictures to tempt you to be holy. So for example, you have a holy picture in your room. You're like about to follow that same script. All of a sudden, the Blessed Mother's applying grace. You see that picture on the wall and you feel like she's saying, step away from the computer, pick up the rosary and walk away. The Lord uses it to speak to you. Sacramentals are critically important. You have pictures of your loved ones that you really love. You put pictures of the Blessed Mother and Jesus in your house in a prominent place. Even if you don't struggle with this, put it there anyways. The devil is cunning. He'll wait for you to let your guard down. Why do you think I have a rosary on this wrist and a rosary on this wrist? Why? Because if I'm ever tempted to sin, I haven't committed this sin in so long. Humility is the key, my friends. If I think I don't have to worry anymore, one day when I'm not paying attention, bam, he's going to get me and drag me back into addiction. Committing solitary sin, committing sins of impurity is embarrassing. Those are the ones that you're afraid to confess to the priest. I know, because I was afraid myself. They're embarrassing. So it humbles us when you realize I can't do it. And so what does God want in many circumstances? He wants you to beg. He wants you to crawl, asking for help. That's what God wants. Why? Because that glorifies Him. So that you know you weren't the one by your own willpower who broke through from sin. It was God alone who got you there. You did not say, I did it. I'm holy and I'm a saint because of myself. No, you can only say, I'm holy because it is no longer I that live, but the Lord Jesus Christ who lives inside of me who got me out of this sin. Why do you think so many of these young people over here are so passionate? It's because God freed them. So humility. I have it written on my hand. And it's spelled wrong to remind me that without the grace and mercy of God, I can't even write the word humility. So we have prayer. We need sacramentals. Fasting is important, but I'm not going to push you to do that yet. There's one thing that if I could give you one piece of advice, if you want the easiest, the fastest, the greatest, and the best way to break free from your sin, if you want the best, the easiest, the most powerful, the quickest, the absolute greatest way to Jesus is through the Virgin Mary. Who brought Jesus into the world? The Virgin Mary. If you want Jesus, you do it through Mary. My advice to you is to completely surrender your life to the Virgin Mary. Many exorcists have said that the devil attacks the youth through sins of lust, through pornography, through all sorts of bad things. And who crushes the head of the serpent? The Virgin Mary. St. Maximilian Kolbe said that it is the Immaculata alone who has the promise of God to crush the head of the serpent. Our Lady is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Do you want more Holy Spirit? Be closer to Mary. Everybody in this room has been given charisms, special gifts of the Holy Spirit for the building up of the kingdom of God. Whatever your gift is, and you have one, the closer you are to Mary, the more Marian you become, the more your charisms in the church will explode. Give yourself to Mary 100%. She's the mediatrix of all the graces. So yes, you can go to God. I'll go to God too, but I'm going to go through Mary. Who's going to get there faster? Who's going to be better? Who's going to be holier? Who's going to have a better place in heaven? Me. Why? Because I'm special? No, because Mary is special. If all the graces that are distributed throughout the world are going to come down to us through Mary, I should probably stand at Mary's feet and say, yes, please, ma'am, please, more graces, please. Thank you, ma'am. As a little begging child, the devil hates the Virgin Mary, and he knows that anybody who's close to Mary, his head will be crushed. Go to Mary, go to Mary, go to Mary. Give your entire life to Mary. Love Mary. Everywhere you go, you have Mary with you. She'll make sure that you have the best, the greatest graces. At the wedding feast of Cana, because people will say, that's not in the Bible, you crazy lunatic. I am a crazy and I am a lunatic, but you're wrong. It is in the Bible. At the wedding feast of Cana, it wasn't Jesus' hour. That means he had no plan of working a miracle. He was not going to do it. Woman, what business is this of mine? It is not my hour. The very first miracle Jesus did was because of Mary's intercession. And it wasn't anything special. They ran out of wine. Big deal. Drink beer, okay? Get over it. But Mary said, let this happen, and it happened. There, from Scripture. Mary's role, she's the mother of Jesus. Jesus is a king from the line of King David. In the line of King David, their mother is the queen. The role of the queen in that line was to intercede for the people. Mary is the opposite of Eve. Eve tempted Adam to do the first sin. Just as Mary tempts Jesus to do the first miracle, Eve believed an evil angel. Mary believed a good angel. You see how there's a parallel here? Mary is a huge part of God's plan. Now, I'm going to give you two devotions before we wrap up. The first devotion is called the Three Hail Marys devotion. This devotion was promoted by saint after saint. One of them was a doctor of the church named St. Alphonsus Liguori. Every day in the morning when you wake up, pray three Hail Marys. Can you do this? Very simple. You pray three Hail Marys. You pray one Hail Mary in honor and in thanksgiving to God the Father, one Hail Mary in honor and thanksgiving to God the Son, one Hail Mary in honor and thanksgiving to God the Holy Spirit. What you ask for is, Mary, help to keep me free from mortal sin this day and grant me the grace of final perseverance that at the hour of my death, I may see the face of God, that I can go to purgatory or go straight to heaven. Every day you pray this, we're going to do the brown scapular investiture. The brown scapular, according to Pope Pius XII, is a sign of your consecration to Mary. It's a sign that you've given your life to Mary, that you want her to be your mother, but you need to do some prayer. I recommend the Three Hail Marys devotion. This is very powerful. I say do this even if you're not struggling. If you are struggling, St. Alphonsus Liguori recommends you do it twice a day. He said that the birds sing in the morning and in the evening, and so you too should sing the praises of Mary in the morning and in the evening. The next and the most important thing. The Virgin Mary has appeared countless times in approved church apparitions. If the Virgin Mary were to appear to you and you would say, please heal me of my cancer, do you know what she would tell you? Pray the rosary. If you were to say, Blessed Mother, I'm poor, you know what she would tell you? Pray the rosary. If you say, Blessed Mother, my son, he's in all sorts of sin, he's in a gang, you know what she would tell you? Pray the rosary. Anything that you can come up with, she would say, pray the rosary. If I could get you to do one thing in your life, pray the rosary every single day. She is your mother. She will take care of everything else. It's difficult. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not fun. Maybe you'll get a little spiritual tickle here and there. But most of the time, it's tough. Just get it done. Please, I'm begging you, pray the rosary every single day. The devil hates it. And Mary has given 15 promises to those who do. Just Google them. I don't have time to go through all of them. But there are 15 promises, and they are true. For example, you'll get signal graces. What are signal graces? Signal graces are little signs from God nudging you in a particular direction. The rosary is 100%, well, it's 95% scriptural. All the prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, comes from the Bible. The mysteries that you're meditating come from the Bible. I promise you, if you'll do this, Mary will make your crosses sweeter. This is the best way to show your Marian devotion. So I'm going to give you a little bit of history real fast. When the rosary was first revealed to St. Dominic, it was 15 mysteries, 3 rosaries. St. Louis de Montfort, the great promoter of the rosary, would encourage all of you, if he was here right now giving this talk, he would say, I encourage all of you to pray all the mysteries of the rosary every single day. But unless you're a little child, I understand that's asking a lot. So you should pray just 5 decades of the rosary. So what we commonly call the rosary is really the children's rosary. So those 15 promises that I talked about earlier, those were given under the precondition that the rosary was all of the mysteries when possible. Not like, oh, I'm doing something wrong if I fail. I promise you, if you do this, your spiritual life will skyrocket. If you don't pray any rosaries, start by praying one rosary a day. If you already are praying one rosary a day, I challenge you to pray 3 or even 4. And this will make you a saint, I guarantee it. So St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Pius V, St. Francis Xavier, St. Francis Borgia, St. Teresa of Avila, all prayed 3 rosaries a day. St. John the 23rd, 3 rosaries a day. But Pope John Paul II introduced 4 mysteries. Please, I'm begging you, when you leave this retreat, the devil is going to come after you. And there's only 1 shield and 1 sword. Recently in Nigeria, 2014, Boko Haram stole a bunch of girls. Maybe you heard about this. And there was a bishop there. The bishop in the town was praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And he was crying, saying, oh, Lord, please, the Islamic extremists are just decimating us. And the Lord came and appeared to him. And he had a sword. He says, I'm going to give you a weapon that will destroy Boko Haram. Oh, yes, Lord, please, give me the sword. And when he handed him the sword, turned into a rosary. There is nothing that you cannot obtain through the prayer of the rosary. I'm going to conclude just a few quotes. These 2 are from St. Louis de Montfort, my favorite man. Believe me, dear brother, if you genuinely wish to attain a high degree of prayer, in all honesty and without falling into the illusions of the devil, so common with those who practice mental prayer, say, this is St. Louis de Montfort, not me being extreme, say the whole rosary every day, but like him, I caveat, or at least 5 decades of it. Oh, so we have a low bar and then we have a big goal that we want to have, right? So, or at least 5 decades of it. If you have already attained by the grace of God a high degree of prayer, keep up the practice of saying the Holy Rosary if you wish to remain in that state, and by it grow in humility. For never, never will anyone who says his rosary every day become a formal heretic or be led astray by the devil. This is a statement which I would sign with my own blood. Our Lady revealed to Blessed Alan that no sooner had St. Dominic began preaching the rosary that hardened sinners were touched and wept bitterly over their grievous sins. Young children performed incredible penances, and everywhere that he preached the Holy Rosary, such fervor arose that sinners changed their lives and edified everyone by their penances and change of heart. You could hear 100 homilies, and they could all be fantastic. You could come here and see the face of Jesus in the Eucharist. You could come here and have a vision of the Virgin Mary. And guess what? If you don't have holy habits, you're still going to crash into the ground and burn. You are only as holy as your habits. That's why the Blessed Mother wants it daily, a daily sacrifice of your will. She'll build up your willpower. That's why I said, don't worry about fasting yet. Why did Mary not come and say, daily holy hour, a weekly confession? She didn't have to say that, because she knows that the rosary is the catch-all. It leads to those other things. It makes your Holy Communion more fervent. It makes your confessions more devout. It makes you more likely to do acts of penance, because you have a living encounter with God. It's a sacrifice. It's not fun, but that sacrifice is love for the sake of the beloved. Last quote, and then we'll end. Sister Lucia, imagine, this is somebody who had a vision of the Virgin Mary, the most extravagant vision that has been witnessed in modern era, 70,000 people. If you could talk to her with your problems, this is the advice she would give you. The Most Holy Virgin, in these last times in which we live, has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem. No problem! But I got this problem. You're not an exception. The cure is the same. No matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, that cannot be resolved by the recitation of the rosary. I repeat, there is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. If I was the devil, I would not want you praying the rosary. If I was the devil, I would say, pray it later. That's the way the devil gets most people to go to hell. It's by the temptation of saying, pray your rosary later. Go to confession later. There'll be more time. No, pray the rosary now. Now. It's going to hurt. When you're turning away from sin, when you're stopping pornography, when you're not sinning with your person that you're in a relationship with, all of that is going to hurt. Praying the rosary is going to hurt. You're going to have to give up something. On Monday morning, but before you leave here, you need to tell yourself, what am I going to give up so that I can keep going to holiness? Because if you're not going to holiness, you're going to hell. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, we love you. We know that you love us. We know that you're present with us. Help us to have a greater confidence in you. Help us to reach out for your hand in trust that once we've prayed, you're going to keep your promises, that we are your little children, that you are with us, that you'll nourish us, that in you we'll find all that we need. In you we will find our Lord Jesus Christ. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Thank you for watching this video. I encourage you to subscribe so that you can get notifications. I have two other YouTube channels, and I want you to check those out too. On one channel, I have really high-quality, well-produced content. On another channel, I have lectures and talks that I've given. The easiest way to find those channels, besides clicking there, is to go to www.truefaith.tv.